Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Roseman?
That should be a drop for you. We should take away the whatever the dirt of the earth drop and let's turn the camera.
You got it, Zach.
Yes. Yeah. Let's turn the camera on to the Athletics Red Star reporter.
Hello, everybody. And
we lost Bo at the beginning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Birds with Friends. Now we have Bo Wolf.
Welcome to Birds with Friends. This may continue to happen. And we're producerless again tonight. So, you know, it's going to be a weird one, potentially, with the mic continuing to be finicky. But what a day for the Eagles. We talked yesterday, Zach, about a little bit of a lack of energy from the Birds against the Browns. The Browns came in, punched him in the mouth. The offensive line. I'd never seen them. Can't remember having seen them overrun so much. And then today, before practice, Nick Sirianni says, yeah, you know, if I'm being honest, yesterday's performance on offense wasn't up to the standard. How would the Eagles respond? This Super Bowl team, is the Super Bowl hangover keeping them on the couch? Is their head buzzing a little bit? You know, maybe they needed a cheeseburger. Maybe they needed a little hair of the dog. Whatever it was, they came out today, Zach, and they punched right back. I would say a dominating performance by the Eagles in this second of two joint practices. We can get to the final period, this move the ball period where it's ones versus ones. And it's just, you're playing football. The ball's on, you know, starts on the 25 or whatever it is. And the Eagles go 4-0. They win each matchup demonstrably. They've got energy and juice all day long. They've got, there's some fights busting out. You got the Browns owner getting angry and, you know, all upset. It was good stuff, Zach. And I got to say, I would say that if this is the time capsule, the headline, I would say I have never felt better about the 2023 Eagles than I do today.
That's the headline right there. That is the headline. I give them credit. And as we have at the top of our notes, whatever Nick Sirianni said to this team after yesterday's practice, bottle that up and bring it to the NovaCare after a substandard performance sometime this season, because, man, they were different today. And now I say that recognizing that I did not watch the offense yesterday. You did. I only watched them on the last period. But your account and the accounts of others indicated that it was a bad day, and Nick Sirianni said as much, and I thought the defense wasn't as energetic as they could have been, perhaps. They didn't have the juice. Let's use that term. And both sides of the ball, in the drill, like you said, at the end when they were all together. Man, they were a Tyree Cleveland caught a touchdown, and you would think they just won a Super Bowl.
Tyree Cleveland goes octopus. He scores a touchdown, and then they go 2-point conversion, and he catches that too.
Yeah, but man, I mean, the way the sideline erupted, Reed Blankenship is the Deshaun Watson. Oh, I don't know where to go with this one. Reed Blankenship blanking Deshaun Watson. Yeah, Reed Blankenship blanking.
Let's go through that period. Okay, let's tell that story. The very first period. So we'll get to the specifics of what happened earlier in practice. It was a pretty short practice, but just in the final period where it's the last chance for the ones to go against the ones, the twos to go against the twos, and then, you know, vice versa on both sides of the ball. The Eagles get the ball first. And how does that go down? Do you remember the specifics there? Do you have those notes?
So, well,
AJ
Brown
with an AJ Brown.
AJ Brown caught the touchdown. Yeah, there was there was a pass to AJ earlier in that drive when it got either, I think it got deflected or there was a penalty in there. And then, but the last play was and the type of touchdown that is like seared in your mind is as a vintage play, hurts to AJ. And as I wrote in the notes, that the way AJ caught the ball and like the way Jalen just threw it up to him was an example of why you feel so confident that AJ Brown is a wide receiver on this team, because I'm not comparing it.
I agree. I do think he's going to make the team.
No, but I'm not comparing it to Kirk Cousins throwing it to Justin Jefferson in that Bills game where it's just like, F it, Jefferson's down there. But like you could see Jalen almost improvising. You know, he kind of pointed AJ to that direction.
It was a second reaction play, but it was not. Yes. There were a couple, you know, is this a sack? Is this a – this was not that. This was a
yes.
– moved around in the pocket as he should have and created the time for that pass downfield to AJ Brown.
And then it's like, I have AJ down there. Martin Emerson's on him. Let's do this, right?
Martin Emerson catching a stray.
I believe it was Martin Emerson. And put it up there. And, you know, AJ just made a play on the ball with bodies around him. Mm-hmm. It was well done.
Yeah, this was not a I wouldn't call this specific matchup a blowout. It started with an incomplete pass to AJ Brown. Then there was a draw that was sniffed out. Then there was a swing pass to Kenny Gainwell, then a sack, and then the long completion touchdown to AJ Brown, which was then punctuated by the 2-point conversion on a run that was definitely converted by Kenny Gainwell behind Sua Opeta. So there you go.
Yeah, real quick housekeeping there. As we say it, Landon Dickerson did not practice, so Sua Opeta took most of the first team reps at left guard. And
yo, my name is Sua, and I'm here to say that I pancake D linemen every single day.
Josh Sills rotated in at left guard as well.
I will not first do a Josh team. Sills rap.
Be careful.
Okay, so 1-0 after the first matchup. On comes the first team defense against the Cleveland Browns first team offense. We'll get to what transpired between those two sides earlier in practice. There were a bit of fisticuffs, but nothing too crazy or out of hand. In this period, you had N'Kobe Dean and Nicholas Morrow at linebacker, and Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds at safety. That was not the case all day long, but it was for this one. And it begins with the first play. It's either Josh Sweat or Brandon Graham gets the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hands. Like, they get the ball. And I saw, I thought it was Graham. You thought it was Graham? I thought it was Graham too, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Okay.
I saw Mary Kay Cabot said that Deshaun Watson said, or Joel Batonio said that the Eagles D linemen were taking some cheap shots at Deshaun Watson. I mean, if that's the case, like, how about a little protecting your quarterback from Joel Batonio? You know, he's getting run over by Jalen Carter. We'll see what happens. Next up, you have it looked like this one was a potential sack for Jordan Davis. I think in a real game, Deshaun Watson probably skirts around him and gets a few yards, but it was whistled down. Then two consecutive targets towards James Bradbury. We'll get to him in a little bit. One was incomplete to Amari Cooper. The next was a completion to Donovan Peoples-Jones. And then comes the big play, an interception in the back of the end zone from Reed Blankenship, his second interception of the day, his third interception in 2 days. The man is a star. You're welcome. 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Reed Blankenship, we've been talking about him throughout the summer, and he solidified that top safety spot, and he's playing legitimately well. As Darius Slay was explaining after practice, he's not someone you want to do a milk check against. Do you understand that reference?
No.
Okay, so this is reference to Josh Allen, something Josh Allen said this year. In a podcast when he was – so I think you had the story last year about Reed Blankenship's nickname.
Yeah, Ghost.
On the team, Ghost, because mm-hmm. he was the only white guy on the team. And so it was –
like you find the reference. You try to – you throw at the white guy.
Yes, and so
– Milchek's a great name for that. That's great.
Yeah, Darius Slay said, you know, I heard what Josh Allen said about the milk check. You don't want to do a milk check against Reed Blankenship. Yeah.
And what do they say? What does Josh Allen say about it? What's the victim of the
No, he doesn't. He's the quarterback.
Oh, him as the quarterback, he tries to find the white guy.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I hope I'm not butchering the story here.
Do you think that Slay is referencing Josh Allen, or you think that Josh Allen just picked up on nomenclature that Slay already knew?
No, he referenced Josh Allen.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he said, I need to listen to it back, but yeah, he referenced Josh Allen, and then I followed up. I was like, I know you were joking about the milk check, but Reed Blankenship's played really well this camp. It seems like, what have you seen in him? Something along that. And then he brought up the milk check thing again. And then a different reporter came up to me and asked what he meant about the milk check. And I explained what Josh Allen had said. But anyways, Reed Blankenship has been catching balls throughout the summer. So that is the that's the extent of it. I hope I didn't say anything out of turn here.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
he's a white guy.
Yeah. And
if I was a quarterback, I'd throw at the white guy too.
Darius Slay referenced it. So, but Slay said that he has the most interceptions of anyone in camp this summer. And
without a doubt,
he said Slay's jealous. Slay wants to have that. So he says, but they don't throw it to me.
Fair enough. Okay. So 2-0 after Milk Boy comes up with his interception. Then you've got the second team offense against the Browns second team defense. Another quick win here. As you referenced earlier, Marcus Mariota finds Tyree Cleveland streaking on the left corner, left sideline. Great catch from Tyree Cleveland. They go 2-point conversion. He scores on that too. I mean, Tyree Cleveland is making a case over the past week. It's hard to imagine him getting a roster spot, but he has definitely been the fifth best wide receiver in camp, I would say.
Correct. They seem to have confidence in him. He's 25 years old, has been with the Broncos the last 3 years, has been a good special teams contributor for the Broncos.
That's interesting, because that's my question is can he do enough on special teams to be worthy of a spot?
Yeah, that was his reputation in Denver. He said every day he tells himself the Muhammad Ali line, don't count the days, make the days count. And he said he's trying to make the days count here. The interesting fact that I have about Tyree Cleveland, or not fact, but kind of detail, is the Eagles signed him to the practice squad in January of last year, not to a futures contract then. They signed him to the practice squad. So he came onto the practice squad during the playoffs, which is like, it's like the best time to come onto the practice squad, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think it was pretty. So he was with the team during the playoffs, during the Super Bowl, and they signed him to a futures contract thereafter. But he's someone, he went to Florida. Brian Johnson was his offensive coordinator. What a big matchup
for him. Cleveland on Cleveland.
I think I referenced that yesterday. Yeah.
And then we're going to get to it, but Brown too. Both Browns. Cleveland Browns. Tyree AJ, and Sydney. They killed it. We got to rewrite the practice notes. This needs to be the lead.
Make that the lead. Tyreek Cleveland's been playing well. He has the trust of, you saw in the, you saw the other night when Tanner McKee went in, targeting Tyreek Cleveland right away, right? And Marcus Mariota did that today. Like, he's someone who the quarterbacks clearly have confidence in. He has good size. He's making plays on the ball.
I need to rewatch that Tanner McKee to Tyreek Cleveland throw to decide whether it was him targeting Tyreek Cleveland or if it was a milk check.
Just for the record, Darius Slay brought that up. That's not me. Darius Slay brought that up.
I mean, better a milk check than a cup check.
You don't say. Cup check. You don't say. But in any event, Tyreek Cleveland catches the touchdown, and that was right in front of me. Well, Tyreek Cleveland went on to literally flex. You know, he was so pumped, caught the touchdown, flex, screamed, and the team came running over. They were pumped. There was clearly a message from Sirianni to have some juice today, because they don't typically celebrate touchdowns in practice like that.
Well, and listen, this is the first time all summer where they get to be a team together, the guys that matter, right? Like, even in the preseason game, the ones are not involved. You know, it's like Jason Kelce was asked today whether, you know, maybe the fact that they played on Saturday night contributed to them, like, not playing super great in the joint practice on Monday. He's like, the ones didn't play. We can't use that as an excuse. Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, like,
love it.
That was, they were just on the sideline. Even, I mean, they were happy for what was going on, but, you know, in terms of, like, team building and camaraderie and, like, we're not against each other, we're together, the guys who matter now, that's the first time they've gotten to do that all summer.
Yeah, correct. But they weren't like that yesterday, correct?
Right, yeah.
I mean, perhaps they didn't have the opportunities to do so, but they weren't like that yesterday.
No, they weren't. And they, I mean, the energy level was low yesterday for them. And you know, Kelce referenced it, Sirianni referenced it. And I think, and Kelce said that over the course of the past 24 hours, that was, you know, relayed to them by the coaching staff. Okay, so 3-0, one more to go. Let's see if the second team defense can hold up their end of the bargain and make this a clean sweep. You've got Zach Cunningham and Miles Jack on the field together, Kayvon Wallace and Justin Evans at safety. And this is another sort of a quick one. It's a couple catches, a couple short catches, one on Josh Jobe, one on Zach McPherson. Then they go right back to Jobe. Your boy, Zach, pulls up the practice-ending interception. Excuse me. Josh Jobe pick, ends it.
Yeah, so Slay was happy for Jobe there, because I think he said Jobe has the worst hands of all the corners.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. So it was pumped to see him bring down the interception. But he was really complimentary of Jobe. Slay was.
Good for him.
He was saying that, you know, he doesn't talk much to you guys, but he asks a lot of questions. Here, I'm pulling up the quote here. He said,
yeah, he really doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah. Because he cannot catch, and today he caught it. He said, I'm like a proud dad right now. I ain't going to lie. He said here. First of all, Jobe's probably the worst catcher in the DB room. But I'm so happy my boy caught the ball. I feel like I caught it for him. I feel like he took my hands and put them on his hands. He caught it because he cannot catch. And today he caught it. I'm like a proud dad right now. I ain't going to lie.
That's really good. Yeah.
And credit to Olivia.
I mean, good
Ryan
for Slay for taking that's, I feel like that's the kind of thing I would do. Take responsibility for something that he has nothing to do with. I mean, yeah.
One of the great things about Slay is like, usually, you know, if you're trying to get that like complimentary quote, or when I say complimentary, not complimentary, complimentary with an E, right? Like the additional quote that you put in a story about the player, some context for a teammate, and you're expecting him to say, oh yeah, he's great. Now Slay's going to give you a piece of his mind, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Including on Matt Patricia. Mm. Okay. So we'll get to some of the specific depth chart nuggets. We'll get to some of that other stuff, but just macro, Zach, do you match my enthusiasm for what you saw today?
Oh yeah, that they were much better. I mean, I was watching the offense today, and no, I'm not matching your enthusiasm that like it all is right for the 2023 team.
Today is for me a high watermark of my thought of my opinion of them this season.
Yeah, sure, because it's a competitive situation, and the way they were. I mean, Jalen Hurts was
the two most important days of the summer.
Yeah, yeah, Jalen Hurts was terrific today. Like, I mean, I have no doubt you saw what you saw yesterday. They were not that same team today. Now, relatedly, Myles Garrett did not participate in team drills. So
yeah, it's a very important thing to know.
Yeah. So as you noted yesterday, Myles Garrett kind of tore everything apart, and that was not the case.
And I do think talking to some people, Jalen Hurts was maybe a little bit responsible for some of those sacks too. It wasn't just the offensive line, but it was still them as a whole.
Yeah. So as I was watching that, Jalen got the guys that he needed. I mean, Devontae Smith caught a touchdown. AJ Brown caught a few touchdowns. Dallas Goedert in 7-on-7. He went to his main guys. They were catching the
even
ball.
Threw there a touchdown to David Njoku.
There were not as many passes to the backs. We've seen that more this summer. He was getting his top three guys the ball today. I thought the running backs ran well for as much as you can ascertain in these settings, but there was a nice run by Gainwell. There was a nice run by Boston Scott. And
I think Boston Scott has looked really good this summer.
Yeah, I would agree. Sirianni, before practice, pointed out the position competitions. And he said, we have some good ones at safety, linebacker, and running back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, Trey Sermon, he had those impressive snaps last year that are still in Sirianni's mind.
Trey Sermon had a nice touchdown run today. So, okay. But the offensive line cleared space. I mean, Sermon basically went untouched. So,
okay. So,
first throw of the hole.
You're making it seem less impressive, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where should we go next? You want to get into some of the specific things you saw? What did you see on the offensive side of the ball when we were split up? You said Sua was at left guard for Landon Dickerson.
Sua at left guard, but Josh Sills rotated in. So okay. It was not just Sua.
Yeah, that's what they did yesterday too.
Yeah. I thought it was
we posted our 53s, Zach, from last week, but we haven't really gotten into the nitty-gritty of it on the podcast yet. I don't know if today is the day to do that.
No, but you don't want to give away too much because the king of the beats.
I got to get the crown back. I mean, Jimmy's the temporary holder.
Temporary. So to get – I'm sorry.
Do you think they're going to – how many offensive linemen do you think they're going to carry?
So I predicted 8 because I said Josh Andrews can be a practice squad guy who they elevate, or Dennis Kelly can be a practice squad guy they elevate. I frankly haven't been that impressed with Dennis Kelly this summer. I don't know if you have.
Josh Andrews has been, the last 2 days, has been leapfrogged by Julian Good-Jones, who I think has been pretty good.
Something to think about there. So I had 8. They don't have a lot of depth that you'd want to keep, and I think they can play practice squad things there. They can look at, frankly, the waiver wire players who are cut elsewhere. I thought you made an astute point earlier this summer when you said they don't really have those young developmental linemen that they've had in past years, and maybe they find those guys on the wire. I mean, some of these guys who they've spent some time developing, the Brett Toast of the world, for instance, they might have run their course by this point.
You know what's interesting about these joint practices is – this isn't perfect because these guys are going to, the threes are going to play in the preseason game, right? But there is an element to, like, let's play the ones and twos. Let's get them the good work. But also that means maybe we can protect the threes that we like, that we want to stash in the practice squad. You won't get good eyes on them. Like, you'll see what everybody sees in the preseason, but you're not going to see up close what, I don't know, Ben Van Sumeren can do.
That's a good point because I read elsewhere, and I apologize. I don't know who wrote it, but that this is a big week for teams to have their pro scouts at all these joint practices because there's some bottom of the depth chart poaching that happens at these practices.
Interesting. Okay, so what else did you see from the offense?
Yeah, like I said, real heavy AJ Devontae day. I mean, I wrote this down. Devontae had a touchdown catch when it was a near sack. I didn't know if it was a sack or not. Ruled it a touchdown. Don't know what the official ruling would be there. But
did Elliott rule it?
I don't know, actually. I don't want to bother him. He's watching Messi right now. What's the score in that game?
I don't know. I'm doing.
I saw Messi had a goal. Yeah. So Devontae was wide open. He was wide open.
Everybody calls him
wide
Messi.
Open because
I think he's pretty clean.
He was wide open because of the route that he ran. And that's the thing that jumps out to me is like he's just so precise in his routes that you kind of take it for granted when he's as open as he was. AJ had a big touchdown catch when he or a big catch that was actually ruled out of bounds, but he covers so much ground along the sideline, right? That he almost toppled over these kids who were in the corner. Either good elusiveness from AJ or good elusiveness from the kids, but. There was no catastrophe there.
We know that you are probably less impressed with the kids. Those, you know, they're just kids. You'd rather talk to the adult. Give them the credit.
That is not what I said, but we don't need to go into that. I was saying I was excited to see Marissa. It was a compliment to our friend Marissa, who we haven't seen in quite some time.
Saying you might as well leave Madison at home with grandma. Just send Marissa down here. I don't need to see that baby.
I'm not going to get baited into that one. Like I said, it was a real heavy AJ a real heavy AJ and Devontae day. Marcus Mariota had too many incompletions. He had a few nice passes. He had a touchdown pass to Greg Ward. That he just fit that right into the breadbasket, so to speak. He hit a nice touchdown pass to Jack Stoll. They have a good connection, those two.
Totally trust the problem.
Yes. But there were passes where it's and I've defended Mariota most of the summer. I'm like, yeah, you know, he's a veteran, he's brought a team to the playoffs. But some of these passes, it's like, who's he throwing to? You know, is there a guy?
He's like, he can be really scattershot. It's
yes.
like, it's almost like, you know, those ones where it's like so inaccurate that he doesn't risk an interception.
That's true.
How can you throw it there? It's weird.
Yeah. You mentioned Tyree Cleveland. Tyree Cleveland made a series of catches even before you got there.
Oh.
I think it was just a good day all around. Yes. And with Quez Watkins and Britton Covey not playing, there was like a push up the depth chart, right? So you have OZ as the slot. Now you have Tyree Cleveland definitively with the second team on days like today.
Mm. He has definitely leapfrogged Joseph Ngata over the past week.
So I was a bit premature on that Ngata hype, right?
No, you're working with the information you had at the time.
Because if I was doing... I don't do the camp crush in your sense. Like, I don't do the bottom of the roster. I do the top of the roster.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So I've had DeAndre Swift going.
Yeah, you got DeAndre Swift and David Njoku. Hang your hat on those guys.
Did they have something in common?
I thought it was no. You know, we'll get to that a different time.
Okay.
Is that's basically your wrap on the offense?
Yeah, I mean it was a short practice, and
yeah, it was a very short practice.
First and second team, a lot of passes to AJ and Devontae. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I did not get to watch offensive line, defensive line, one on ones. They had a brief period of that. Hopefully, I think Fran Duffy was watching. If he's got notes posted on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, that would be a good place to go for that. But beginning in 7-on-7s and then into team drills, it's a little bit feisty with the Eagles defense.
Yes.
And I got to give credit
quick,
here.
You did not put fight in your, you did not put fight or scuffle or anything like that in your notes.
What do you mean? I described what happened.
Yeah. But you didn't use the word fight is what I'm saying. So
is that good or bad?
No, I was going to say, how would you describe what you saw? That's what I was about to ask you.
Okay.
What you called us.
Well, first, let me give some credit here because, we had some BWF Sicko Royalty at practice today. RB, Rich Bobby, came over to say hello. And like one of the first things out of Rich Bobby's mouth was, it's going to be a fight today. It's like, it's hot. And it was toasty. It was really hot. And I was like, you know what, Rich? I think you're right. Like, these guys, after yesterday, they got to bring the energy. They're going to want to punch back. So shout out to RB. The man knows ball. He's a football
guy. Cheese steaks too. No, cheese steaks too.
I saw he went and got that Food Chaser's cheese steak. I forgot to ask him about that. So great call by RB. And the fight happens. You've got Sidney Brown working at safety with Reed Blankenship with the ones again. And for the second day in a row, Deshaun Watson throws the ball over the middle. Zach Cunningham, with those go-go gadget arms of his, tips the ball into the air. It floats into the waiting hands of Reed Blankenship, who intercepts it and then starts to run it back. And as he's running it back, Sidney Brown like lays a big old block on, I believe it was Demetric Felton. And DeJuan Jones, the monster offensive lineman.
Mess with DeJuan Jones.
The Browns. Yeah. Well, listen, he comes over and he shoves Sidney Brown. Sidney Brown shoves him right back. And then
you don't mess with the Canadian either.
It's a big, bowl of machismo altogether. Everybody pushing and shoving. Good stuff. And I was sitting. Now, the rules of like reporting on what people say in practice are that you can't directly quote a person. So we'll get to that, but just keep that in mind. I did note that in this period, Jimmy Haslam, the Browns owner, was not happy with that block. You know, he thought that was not cool. Then, so there's the...
How did he illustrate that?
Well, I can't directly quote him.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Then later on, the very next period, it's twos versus twos, and Kayvon Wallace. Now, let's remember here, in my estimation, the best day of Kayvon Wallace's Eagles career was the second day of last year's Eagles-Browns joint practice. He was all over the place in that practice. That was the day he made the team, in my view. He was great. Kayvon Wallace might just be a Browns killer, because he was fired up in this game, on this day. It's a run up the middle. Christian Ellis, great play, knifing into the backfield, makes the tackle, but the running back keeps coming. And then Kayvon Wallace comes in and lays a really big one. And once again, Jimmy Haslam not happy about this. He's like, oh, God, keep an eye out on this guy. I don't know exactly what his direct quote was. Brown's getting feisty again. Next play, you will not be surprised by this, Zach. Your boy, Derek Barnett, pushes somebody after the whistle, and then that guy pushes him. They both get flagged. So really, that's an improvement. I think that's an improvement because you go
through the flag.
Yeah. So you go from getting flagged, a 15-yard penalty, small baby steps. Let's both get a flag.
Okay.
You know, okay. I think that's, you know, we're only working our way up for Derek Barnett. And then the next play.
Was it like wrong place, wrong time for Derek Barnett? Or
no, this one was very much. This one was very much. He just shoved a guy.
Okay.
Which, I can respect. And then. Yes. Then on the very next play, this is three plays in a row. Kayvon Wallace again, just thumps into a guy, and here's where I will not directly quote somebody, but I will tell you, that Ed Kratz, who was standing nearby me, he has a tweet that says, a Browns personnel member yells out to the field, somebody needs to get on 42's ass. And that's, I'll let you put that puzzle piece together of who was saying that. So it was fun to watch. Did
anyone get on 42's ass?
You know what? No. And which,
okay.
Maybe this is like, we'll see what happens on Thursday night. Somebody comes after him. But yeah. It was good. It was good, high energy stuff.
That's a little late. I mean, that's like in the, that's like the pitcher who like beans the guy the next series.
Sean Estes throws behind Roger Clemens. We've been waiting all offseason for this rematch.
Exactly.
Throws a spiked bat at Mike Piazza. Here's Sean Estes. Here we go. And he throws it a mile behind him. What are you doing, Estes? And then he homers off Clemens later in the game, but that's not as good.
Yeah. I'm just saying you can't retaliate on Thursday from something that happened on Tuesday.
I agree. I didn't want it to be Michael Dunn. I wanted it to be somebody else, but I thought somebody was going to come after Kayvon.
But Michael Dunn's got that dad strength.
Now, there was a play in team drills before the move the ball drill where like one of the most just like powerful, violent collisions in the hole I've ever seen. And it was probably the two best players on the field. Michael Dunn is coming around. He's pulling to his left from the right guard spot. Christian Ellis meets him in the hole. And it was the two most powerful things in the world colliding with each other just meet together. And neither one moves a muscle. It was like very impressive. My heart, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Well, you're on team done, I imagine.
No, of course I'm on team done. Yeah, but yeah. I don't want to see my
you're
two
in for a draw there.
The NFL,
exactly.
You know?
You're in for a draw.
I think I'd like to think that they both gave it to each other enough that they both respected what each other was bringing.
Sure. Shout out to Michael Dunn. I mean, he's
got Marissa
first
in the chat.
Yes. Awesome to see. He was taking first team reps. He had Fletcher Cox over him. Like it says a lot about Michael Dunn that he's here blocking one of the, I think Fletcher Cox was on the all decade team. He's a feared defensive player in this league. And there's Michael Dunn block. Now there was a double team. Okay. So there were two guys there, but they did a good job blocking Fletcher Cox. So I was impressed.
Well, I'll tell you,
I was standing next to Shield. Shield said, look, 68 with the first team.
I'll tell you what was interesting to me was on the Josh Jobe interception at the end of practice, or maybe it was the Reed Blankenship interception. It must have been the Reed Blankenship interception because it was the ones. Michael told us yesterday that in one-on-ones, he went up against Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter got him good with that same club move that he used in the game against the Ravens. So on this play, this big play, here comes Jalen Carter again with the club move, and it was like Michael had it perfectly scouted. It's like he knew exactly what to do. It's like I knew this was coming. It's like you're not getting me twice. I loved that. Thought it was great.
Good to see.
Shut him down.
It's nice to see Michael. I felt bad. I was saying hello after practice, and Tyree Cleveland's over there talking, and I'm like, sorry, Michael.
I gotta go.
Yes, gotta go talk to Tyree Cleveland.
Well, at least you didn't make him feel like Madison.
I can't wait to see Madison. Marissa, I cannot wait to see Madison. And I'm excited to see you. I don't know how that could be misinterpreted or misconstrued in any way.
Here's something I want to ask you about, Zach.
Yeah, fire away.
Second day in a row, James Bradberry getting some reps in the slot. Not exclusively, but significantly. Some with the ones, some with the twos. What's your read on this? I think there are a few ways to read it. It's just trying to figure out what he can do. This could be a break glass in case of emergency thing. If Avante Maddox gets hurt, we want to know if this is an option for us. Maybe it's a specific matchup type thing.
Yeah.
Let's see what we've got. I think that's probably the most likely. It also coincides with Zach McPherson now working on the outside exclusively the last 2 days. I think that's a natural thing because Sean Desai hasn't seen Zach McPherson on the outside yet. Now he gets eyes on him. But there's a way to do that where those two are not correlated. I mean, Bradberry could just play in the slot and McPherson could be on the outside with the twos. Are we a little bit worried about Avante Maddox? I don't think that Avante Maddox has had a very good summer. is this just a backup option? We want to see Josh Jobe on the outside with the ones. We want to see what he does against the ones, because this is a guy who we're thinking of as probably our top corner on the outside, backup corner on the outside. Let's see how he does against the ones. Or the last one is it a prelude to what if Avante has to go back to safety?
All good questions. I'll preface this by saying, and this is not self-deprecation, this is honestly, this is honesty. I'm happy that happened again today, because the one thing with watching these practices is like, we don't have a rewind button, right? So I put the James Bradberry thing in my notes, but I didn't really see it in anyone else's notes.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm like, oh, did I, did I see right, that
was it just emotion inside? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you get a little worried that, oh, did I not see that correctly? You know, because there's a bunch of things going on at once. So when I saw that happen again today, I was like, thank you. You know, because especially when I'm doing the joint notes with you, I want to try to bring my A game. But no, I think it's more matchup specific. I don't think it has to do with Avante. I think that there's probably matchups where they don't want Avante against, you know, maybe a 6'3", 6'4" slot, right? Maybe they would rather have a bigger group of corners there, or maybe they're preparing for some of these teams that play their tight ends in the slot, right? You saw that a bit in the Super Bowl, and the Eagles used CJ, I think, in that role, right, against Kelsey. And so I think it could be something like that. I mean, they don't have the same coverage. CJ played an important role for them last year, and they don't have that in their safeties this year. Now, I say that Blankenship's been catching the ball well, but CJ was a really unique player that the Eagles could use in unique ways. And without him, you got to figure out how do you compensate for that. And so perhaps there's certain matchups that they want James Bradberry inside. That's the way I would interpret it.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of those things. This gives you more information on all of these possible eventualities. I don't think that, you know, the plan when you give James Bradberry $20 million guaranteed is to put him in the slot. But it's also, you know, if he loses a step, is this a place better suited for him? I would guess actually not. Like, you would think you're better off on the outside if you have lost a half step than you would be on the inside. But I think it's, you know, maybe he's more physical there and he can play up on the line. I think it's just, let's see what we've got. Is this a tool that we can bust out?
Yeah, I would agree.
I think that's about it that I have from the defense. Sydney Brown again.
How about the pass rush?
Pass rush was good. Good. It was mostly, from what I could tell, the guys on the outside, Sweat and Graham, although there were a couple of really splashy Jalen Carter reps. He ran over Joel Bitonio once. So I think he has been, for all of my preaching caution, I think he's been pretty good the last 2 days.
Yes.
And I think Milton has looked
that's okay. What you expect to see. Yeah.
Yeah. At safety, I mean, when we're not yet ready to redo our turkeys to the castle, but I think I'm going to go pretty heavy on Blankenship Brown week one. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I've been going Sydney all along, and I made the mistake of not going.
What a beautiful marriage between the two of us. I've been going Reed. You've been going Sydney. Yeah. It's going to be both of them.
There you go.
You're right.
Yeah. So clearly it's going to be Reed, and I think it's going to be Sydney. I think they drafted Sydney Brown to start. And I've been saying this all summer. I've been waiting for this to come, and it's coming, and I don't think it's stopping. And I actually think, so I don't think it's coincidence. And well, before I finish this, did they continue using that hybrid safety linebacker role today?
They didn't really use that today, from what I could see.
So then
maybe, I think Edmonds is still in the mix. I think if it's going to be Sydney Brown eventually, at some point this season, which I think we both agree that it is, if you're starting from scratch with this new defensive coordinator and you're sort of expecting growing pains anyway, let him play week one. Let's, you know,
Yeah,
rip the Band-Aid off here.
I agree. But I was.
I do think he is a high variance player. Like
Sidney Brown,
he said today that like you know what somebody asked him how he sort of graded out, and he said, you know, I'm not gonna go less hard on those tackles, but like maybe I'll take some different angles. Like you know, there are going to be plays where he's gonna come downhill 100 miles an hour and miss a tackle and it's going to be a touchdown. That's going to happen. He sort of reminds me of like a much better athlete, Kurt Coleman.
Okay, Kurt Coleman had a good career in the league.
Yeah.
So, So what I was adding there was we both noted that after Sean Bradley's injury, they did not add linebacker, a spot where they were already noticeably thin.
It's a good question by you to Nick Sirianni, and gave a good answer.
And they went defensive tackle. And Nick Sirianni said he needs to see their linebackers play. And then he also said that coming out of the game the other day, the D tackles needed a spell.
Which I think is true. Like they don't want Ojemo and Kentavious Street having to play 50 snaps.
Yeah. I think a part of this is I think they view some of these bigger safeties as almost deaf linebackers. And I think you've seen it this camp in particular. If Kayvon makes the team and Edmonds is on the team, I think these are guys they can bring into the box and play in that hybrid safety linebacker role. And that gives you some of that depth there.
I think Edmonds especially. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about linebacker right now?
Not particularly good. I mean, Jack hasn't flashed enough so far. Cunningham's gotten his hands on the ball. I want to see.
Actually, how those I think Morrow has been better over the last week than he was earlier. Since they made this change, I think I would rank it from what I've seen: Ellis, Cunningham, Morrow, Jack. I've seen the least from Jack so far.
After Dean, yes.
Dean, yeah.
So my concern with linebackers is this. At the safety spot, you have guys who are making a run for the position. So you're seeing some of these changes because Sidney Brown's making plays and you go on down the list. I think a linebacker, they're trying all these different combinations almost as them putting their hands in the air. Like let's see if one of these sticks. Mm. I don't think there's anyone who's like really staking a claim to that linebacker job. And by the way, Dean included, you think Christian Ellis. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dean included. I don't think Dean's been spectacular. I think he's been fine, but he missed some time. And
I think he's been at times invisible,
which you don't want to see. Yeah.
But you know, maybe
they're not tackling.
Yeah. They're not tackling, and maybe that means that he is covering somebody well, and they're not throwing them the ball, right? Like,
yeah.
That's entirely possible, and I have no doubt that he's going to be, if healthy, one of the starting linebackers. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. What else you got going on? Oh, you know, did you see was that practice? Who, aside from Rich Bobby, who was the most handsome bald man there. Did you see what other bald man was at practice today?
What other bald man? Dave Spadaro?
He was there, but that's not who I'm referring to. He's usually there.
Okay, so someone who's not usually there. Give me a clue.
Well, a guy after your own heart. A guy who famously loves positionless players.
Steve Keim. I saw that. And I saw that in your notes, too. Yeah.
Yes, former Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim was at practice. The Eagles have Dave Caldwell on staff. They have had ex-general managers on staff in the past. I think it makes a lot of sense, right? At some point, you're getting probably good information. You're getting, you know, it's a good way to gather information. It's a good sounding board for things. I do also think it's kind of funny to think of it like Howie Roseman, like gathering pelts, like all the general managers he's outlasted, he's now making them work for him. It's like he's putting them up on his wall, like he's stuffing their heads. And
I don't think it's that. But my joke to this would be: number one, I agree that you know there's he likes having sounding boards. He likes having guys who've sat in the room, made these decisions, and it's a credit to him for having, you know, the security to, you know, like the personal, like not the job security, the esteem, the personal security, not to be threatened by them. But the other thing is, like, I think Howie's sense of humor sometimes is he likes to rip on guys' bad draft picks. So he collects the guys who made bad draft picks, you know. So I think there's a part of him.
Steve, didn't you have us on? Didn't you have him?
Yes.
You put him in linebacker?
Yes. Yeah, he's like Dorsey.
Steve, watch this rep right here.
Dorsey, who's that cornerback you took in the top 10 again? Justin Gilbert? I don't even know if that was that was Ray Farmer, actually. I think, yeah, because he took Denzel Ward.
You could have made a Baker Mayfield, you know.
That joke.
Where is Baker these days, anyway?
Yeah. Tampa. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I know
that. I thought you're asking me. Okay.
I know where he is.
Okay. Of course you do. Yeah. Where's Tampa gonna be on your power rankings?
Pretty low.
I'm looking forward to the over under pod, because there's other, you know, there's some teams that I like more than the public does.
I look forward to that too. Okay. I think it's a pretty short practice. That's pretty much the extent of my notes, I think. You got anything else from Nick Sirianni or anybody else you talked to afterwards?
Jalen Hurts spoke after practice.
Low volume as usual. He's making it's like he watched Alshon Jeffrey tape and he's like trying to get as low as Alshon.
Yeah. He said we didn't seem excited today.
Yeah.
But he didn't really seem very excited about. I asked him, well, we don't need to, I don't know if it was on the, anyways. I said, we're not excited or you're not excited. I think he suggested he's never really excited to talk to us, but, Jalen said this about, this is a quote from Jalen about the way they played yesterday. I think you get yourself in a pickle when you go out there and play so well all the time and the standard is so high because you play so well and it doesn't look like that a couple days or for a day. That's the expectation. That's something that we all embrace. So the pickle they're in is that they're so good often that when they have a bad day, it stands out.
Come on.
Yeah. Jason Kelce was up there. Jason Kelce talking about the Amazon documentary that's coming out.
Yeah, this was very interesting.
He said
they've been working on it for 2 years, and the idea behind it, and it was sort of in conjunction, it was like Connor Barwin's idea, was that there have been like documentaries made about like guys getting out of football and like adjusting to life after football, but they wanted to do it as it was happening. So it was like, this is my last ride, or like I'm preparing to eventually retire and we'll see how it goes. He started 2 years ago. He's back for another year. Happens every time. Good for him.
That's pretty cool, because, as an aside, this is a little book flex. When I wrote Underdogs, one of the things that stood out to me is, you can buy that anywhere books are sold. One of the things that stood out when people like reflected back on the Super Bowl is their feelings in real time, like when something happened, is a lot different than like after the fact. Like after the fact, everyone's like, oh, we always had confidence in Nick Foles, you know, like we knew it. But then like if you were in the locker room that week, there was a lot
oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
That Raiders game, guys.
Yes. So that's my point. So I think his point was astute when Jason said that when you capture how that transition is going, like the way you feel in real time, it's much more authentic than when you reflect after the fact. You know, it's like the idea of him going on him starting a podcast, right? The podcast is top on Spotify charts now. It seems great now, right? But like, imagine the trepidation he probably had, or the deliberation he probably had.
Or in the Eagles organization, potentially.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I'm excited to see it. I think we were talking about it last night. September 12th, it comes out, and it should be a good one.
September 12th. That's a Tuesday after the opener, or the Monday after.
Yes,
the opener?
Because it's the Tuesday after the opener.
Oh, yeah, because we're flying home on September 11th.
Yes. And then they play Thursday night against, so they play on Amazon Thursday night against the Vikings.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So
I was thinking the other day, or even today, it just like occurred to me, like to some degree, how exhausting it must be to be Jason Kelce. Like, you know, we see him at the Mount Joy show on Sunday. Well, yeah, those of us who were good enough friends to actually accept Matt's invite. You know, he's up on stage. Everywhere Jason Kelce goes, he is like making somebody's day that they get to see Jason freaking Kelce.
Exactly.
And that must be so, it like, he doesn't want to let them down. He's got to be Jason Kelce all the time. He can't like, he's got to be, and even on the podium, like he has to give these great answers. He's got to be engaging. He's got to be an active listener. He's got to like be funny. Like there were WWE guys here today, and he does like a 5-second video, but he's got to really bring it, like a Stone Cold Steve Austin thing. Like everything he does, he's got to be on. It's got to, like, it's just got to be a lot.
I feel the same way. It's one of the things that impresses me the most about Jason Kelce, because he's a willing participant in all of these and
all the time.
And not just that, like he has a really demanding job that's like physically and mentally consuming, and that he's fighting the odds to stay healthy and to like play at a high level. Okay. He's got that. He's got 3 kids at home. Okay. And he's a husband, right? Yeah. I don't have a job nearly as demanding as him. And I saw my kids for 8 minutes tonight, like before, you know, between writing and getting ready for the pod.
I think you make the job just as demanding as his. I think you guys work equally hard.
But to your point, you know, I was somewhere this summer where Jason was, and my wife wanted to go like say hello, and I was like, come on, like I was like, all these
with
people
us all the time.
I was like yes, exactly. And he was,
I feel that like I, even in the locker room, I feel that, because it's like, mm-hmm, I'd love to go have a conversation I want to have with Jason Kelce that's gonna make me smarter about the team, but like everybody's going over to Jason Kelce. I don't want to bother him.
Exactly. So I give him a lot of credit, because it's the, I talked about this with head coaches in the past, that I think like the biggest adjustment when you become a head coach is that every interaction you have is the most important interaction of that person's day. Like everyone in the building, will remember the like interaction they have with the head coach. Whereas him, he could just be talking to anybody, right, you know? And so Jason Kelce, that's every moment of his life. And it's probably a bit like the locker room's probably the locker room and his home are probably the only places where it's not like that. But even in the locker room this time of year, if you're, you know, like you see,
sure, Julian, you know, backup, Good Jones. Yeah.
And then, you know, the Browns got like random backup guys going up and saying, you know, everywhere he goes, it's like this. And that's not to say that that's not the case with Jalen Hurts, but Jalen lives, you know, within his he's kind of created.
Yeah. He's got space himself for him a little bit more. Yeah,
exactly. And that's part of what's endearing about Jason, but I agree. It must be exhausting.
Yeah. And good for him. I did on that point. It was a funny, I always like after the joint practices, like seeing who's going up to who and like who's talking shop. There was an interesting little back and forth between Kelce and Dalvin Tomlinson, who obviously was with the Giants for a long time. So these guys have gone head to head a bunch. And I only heard like a snippet of the conversation, but Tomlinson was like, yeah, you're like, after all this time, I know when you've picked something up, like I can tell when you know something. And like, I could see that today. So it was like, you know, just cool inside baseball stuff.
Yeah. No, that is, and it's a good conversation to have, because it's definitely the truth.
All right, what are we looking forward to on Thursday night? I mean, it's going to be nothing but threes, right? We're going to get to see the Tanner McKee gun show.
Yeah, I think that's a big story. Is yeah, Penny, I think Mac, there's a lot of people who you can probably speak this better than me, but there's a lot of people who are impressed by Tanner McKee's performance the other night. as you were, you called that the Tanner McKee game. You know, it's
he's one of the core four. He's one of the core
as a
four.
Quick aside,
Tanner McKee, Moro Ojimo, Christian Ellis, Reed Blankenship,
Bo.
Those are my babies.
I'm gonna butter Bo up here. You know, I say on here a lot that the pod's always been Bo's baby. But the descriptions that you see on iTunes, I don't see those. Bo sends the description to the producer typically. So when I go into iTunes and I read it, and the description the other night was like Christian, it was something with Tanner McKee, like the greatest player or something like that.
Yeah.
He has a big, there's gonna be a lot of people watching him, and I'm curious to see how he does because he hasn't really practiced this week.
Yeah, that's true. That is, yeah.
So that's one thing. I think these linebackers are going to get a lot of burn. So I'm curious to see that.
Yeah, you know, that is the one place where, like, I know that those guys need reps, but like a lot of these guys are veterans. Like, is N'Kobe Dean going to play in this game? He probably has to.
I don't think so. No.
No. Well,
you mean based on numbers?
Yeah, they've got six linebackers.
You're right. They didn't seem to want to play him the other night. Wait, by the way, you wrote a star emerges as Eagles fall 20-19 in the preseason opener.
Hmm. Yeah, I stand by that.
Yeah.
Guy's a stud.
We'll see.
As I knew all along, I said it like the third day of practice.
But you didn't say it on draft day. That's the thing. You gotta.
But that's not the point. I didn't have eyes on him. I gotta get him in my orbit. I gotta smell him. I gotta feel him. I gotta watch. I gotta, you know, I'm not, you know, swiping right and swiping left on Tinder. I'm going out among the people. I gotta feel these people.
The Browns depth chart includes your quarterback crush in this draft.
Yes,
I'm Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Night. Yeah,
yeah. So, the
he looked good in the first game.
The quarterback the Pac-12 quarterback Bo Wolf loves the most will be apparent on Thursday night.
One of them's going to have a baby?
What?
You said one of them will be apparent on Thursday night.
All right. That's a Bo joke right there.
Just because you're not going to care about the baby doesn't mean that it's not going to be there.
What was
Emily's take on your baby take?
Oh, she hasn't heard that one. She's not listening to, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my cousin on the ride to work today, and
shout out to Lee.
Yeah, shout out to Lee, big time a loyal listener. And he's like, it's like, I'm loving your pods, but I'm a little behind. I'm on practice five right now.
I'm like, he's not loving them that much.
No, he is, but you know, we do like an hour and a half a day. So yeah, these things back up.
Hmm.
Jason in the says Zach has the right take on babies. I want to clarify this. Love babies. Nothing wrong with babies. Okay. My point
You're ambivalent is, about babies.
No, my point is that if you have a friend or a family member who has a baby and you say, I got to see the baby. It's actually, you want to see the friend or the family member. You see the baby. What more is there to do? You know, whatever his milestones, he is and leave wedding early, snub the babies. Yeah, I suppose guilty as charged there. Was that referring to actually leaving a wedding early or leaving the reception or the ceremony early? Because the ceremony thing was a misunderstanding.
But I think maybe you've said this in the past of leaving weddings early or something.
Yeah, but yeah, leaving the actual wedding early. Yeah, I'd like to get home.
Okay.
But no, Thursday night's a big game, and then they're practicing Saturdays.
I don't know if it's a big game. It's a game.
There's only three of them. It's 33% of the preseason.
That's true. And we will be here to wrap it all up late on Thursday night, as usual.
Are we doing Are we doing a pod at the stadium, or are we going to come back to our computers?
Game time decision. I don't know. What would you rather
game
do?
Game time decision. I like in person. If we use my laptop, I got to wipe off. I think my camera was a little smeary the other night. Not smeary. Mm-hmm. I think I would.
But it's the same camera you're using right now, so wouldn't you wipe it off right now?
True. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We will be back late Thursday evening as the Eagles take on the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland and the Browns taking on the Cleveland Browns. So for Zach and Madison and Christian and Tanner and Reed and Morrow, the core four, we thank you for listening. We will talk to you late on Thursday. And as always, we love you.